are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Friends, for 7 weeks, we've been asking the question, how would you complete the sentence, "My church is"? For 7 weeks, we have been looking at and preaching through the core values of this ministry. And today, we get to our last core value, the core value of hospitality. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 14. And as you're turning, let me remind you that core values are the habits that define us as a church. Core values are the things we come back to over and over and over and over again. If you have Luke 14, say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's pray. Father, we ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit as your word is read and proclaimed. Help us to hear your voice. Shape this church family. Shape this ministry. Help us to hear what you have to say to us on this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who alone is the Word made flesh. And the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the Word of God. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Boy, when I was younger, I used to carry around a really thin Bible with small print, and now that I'm a little older, I have to have one with large print, and these things are kind of heavy. This past week, I read a story, an article actually, out of Reformed Worship Magazine. It's a story about a family that was attending a church for the first time. And on their way to this church, this family took a wrong turn, and their wrong turn made them late for worship. So when they got to this church, the dad of this family, quickly took the children to the children's ministry area while the wife, the mom, went into the sanctuary for worship. When she got into the sanctuary, the congregation was already standing and singing songs. And so she stood in the back looking for a place to sit, all the while, of course, joining in the singing. When the singing was over, there was a time for the congregation to greet one another, and it was at that time this woman found a place to sit. So she walked down the aisle, and it was still greeting time, and so she greeted the person at the end of the row. And she said to them, could you move in, because my husband is coming, and could we sit right here? And the person looked at her and said, "No. This is our seat. We like sitting here." And then this person gestured toward the center of the row. "You can sit over here." Today we're talking about hospitality, kingdom hospitality. And I use the adjective kingdom on purpose. I use kingdom to describe hospitality because kingdom hospitality is different than Southern hospitality. As a matter of fact, kingdom hospitality is in opposition to Southern hospitality. Southern hospitality is about the host. Southern hospitality is about the host looking good in the eyes of the guest. Southern hospitality is about getting your Martha Stewart on. Southern hospitality is about getting your Martha Stewart on so that your guests are impressed by your house, by your good cooking, by your decor, and by your overall good taste. Southern hospitality is about impressing your guests so that the host feels good about themselves. But kingdom hospitality is different. Kingdom hospitality is not about the host. It's about the guest. Kingdom hospitality is about sliding over and making room for new people. Kingdom hospitality is about serving. It's about serving. It's about welcoming. Here's a definition we could use for kingdom hospitality. Kingdom hospitality is the art of serving that makes strangers family. Kingdom hospitality is the art of serving that turns strangers into family. Kingdom hospitality. Now, when you think about all of the biblical and theological concepts that we have to think about in the church, hospitality can seem like a small thing. But I want to tell you this morning that hospitality is a deeply rich, powerful, and spiritual, missional, and evangelistic activity. Hospitality is throughout the Bible. If you read the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul gives a command to the church. The Apostle Paul just clearly says, practice hospitality. Again, if you read the New Testament, there's a place where the Apostle Paul, where he's giving advice about how to choose people who have been called to the office of elder. And he says that one of the qualifications, one of the characteristics you should look for in a person who is called to the office of elder is that that person should be hospitable. I'm sure you've heard of that great passage from the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because by so doing, some have entertained angels. And they weren't even aware of it, right? That is exciting to me. How many times has God sent an angel to this campus, and we thought we were just welcoming someone we didn't know in this community, but actually, God sent an angel to us. I'm telling you this morning, hospitality is a big deal. And so the elders of this church were right. They are right to name this as one of our core values. And in our text this morning from Luke 14, Jesus does quite a bit of teaching on hospitality. And I don't know about you, but I have one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are written in red, and there's a whole lot of red in chapter 14. So if you would, walk with me just for a little while through what Jesus is teaching us here about hospitality. First of all, Jesus tells us that hospitality is driven by compassion. Hospitality is driven by compassion. Compassion that moving of your heart that stirs your will to action. Your heart is moved and your will decides to act to help someone. That's compassion. So the text opens up. Jesus is in the home of a Pharisee for dinner on the Sabbath. Now, that alone is really incredible, because we know that the Pharisees were all about focusing on the law. They were all about keeping the rules. They were all about living holy lives. They lived such holy lives that it separated them from ordinary people. And so it is astonishing that a Pharisee, the text says a prominent Pharisee, would invite Jesus to dinner. Because if you just go back seven chapters in the book of Luke, Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was not the kind of person that the holy Pharisees liked to hang out with. But Jesus had name recognition. Jesus had great esteem among the people. Jesus had been going about teaching and doing miracles, and the crowds loved him. And so by having him in their house, this Pharisee, well, he was seeking to come up in status by having this well-known teacher, this Pharisee, this miracle worker named Jesus in his house. Imagine turning on your television and seeing a Hollywood red carpet event. Right, as the celebrities go down the red carpet, what's happening? There's the paparazzi taking pictures. But then there's also crowds of ordinary folk, of fans. They're not invited into the award show, whatever it is, but they're just trying to get a glimpse of the celebrities, these well-known people, going into the award show. And by their presence, by the presence of these fans clamoring to see these celebrities, it raises the profile of this awards ceremony. And so at this Pharisee's house, there would have been people there just wanting to see Jesus, and made the host, the Pharisee, look really good. And there in the crowd to see Jesus, the Bible says, was a man who was suffering. The Bible says that he was suffering from his body swollen. He was swollen. Now, in that day, because he was suffering, he was ill, he was sick, he would not have been allowed in the temple because he would have been considered unclean. They would have assumed that he was suffering because of his own sin. They would have assumed that his suffering, his sickness, was evidence that he was not right with God. It was evidence that God was not pleased with this man. So Jesus, seeing him, asked the Pharisees a question. He said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They were silent. He's asking them, is it lawful to help people? Is it lawful to show compassion on the Sabbath? They had nothing to say. Then the Bible says that Jesus grabbed hold of the man. You can almost hear the Pharisees gasp. Clutch my pearls, Jesus touched them. We can edit that out. They would have been shocked that Jesus actually touched this man. But Jesus touched him, healed him, sent him on his way. And then he asked them another question. If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well, don't you immediately go and pull it out? They had nothing to say. Nothing. Say, Jesus is exposing their hypocrisy. Jesus is exposing that they think it's all about them. Now, here's the relevance for us today. There are many churches who communicate. They don't intend to, and I'm sure that most churches would be horrified if they thought they sent this message. But many churches, in an attempt to reach people, in an attempt to get people into the church, many churches unintentionally communicate. Watch the language here. Come and be a part of our church. Come and help us save our church. Who's that about? That's about us. And what people hear from the church sometimes is a very subtle form of manipulation or being used. Would you come and help us in our church? And Jesus wants us to see, no, it's not about us. It's about them. It's about compassion for those who are outside. So Jesus clearly is teaching us this morning that kingdom hospitality is driven by compassion. Second, Jesus is teaching us this morning that kingdom hospitality is driven by humility. It's driven by humility. Jesus, he continues teaching, and he says to his host, this Pharisee, he says, when you are invited to a banquet, when you're invited to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor. Now, understand what that was in the first century. In the first century, whenever there was a banquet, chairs would have been, or tables would have been arranged in a U shape, right? And the host sat at the bend of the U. And the place of honor was to the left and to the right of the host. And the place of least honor was at the end of the table. And when you picture the Lord's Supper, you ought not picture, as so many artists portray, a straight table, right, with everybody sitting looking for. No, it would have been in a U shape with Jesus at the center. And Jesus says, when you are invited to a banquet, don't choose the place of honor. Because if you do, someone more distinguished than you may come in. And your host, who invited both of you, will come to you and say, you need to move and go to the lowest place. And then you'll have to get up in front of everybody and take that walk of shame down to the last seat. Jesus said, instead, when you are invited to a banquet, take the lowest place. So then when your host comes in, he'll say to you, friend, why are you sitting here? Come up to a better spot, and you'll be honored in the presence of all. Now, notice in that parable, notice that Jesus does not say that it is bad to desire greatness. He doesn't say it's bad to be in a place of honor. What Jesus is challenging is how we get there. It's not bad to desire the honored spot. Jesus is challenging how you get there. He's saying the way to get there is not what you think. Right, so often we say that the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. In reality, it's the world that's upside down. The kingdom is right side up. But from looking at it from the world, the kingdom seems upside down. And Jesus is saying, look, in my kingdom, if you want to be first, then be last. If you want to be great, then be a servant. If you want to be happy, then seek the happiness of others. If you want to receive, then give. If you want to go higher, then bend down low. That's what he's saying. He says, get humble. Now, humility is not a virtue that we talk about very much. Humility is this posture of the heart that says, I am totally and completely dependent upon God. Humility is the acknowledgement that outside of grace, I'm nothing. Apart from the help of Jesus, I can do nothing. Humility is this inner fasting that says, I'm going to deny pride. I'm going to deny self-reliance. Right? The world says, be confident in yourself. Humility says, you better be confident in God, not in yourself. We live in a world in which people publish for the whole world to see and admire the details of their lives on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, as if to say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? I can take a picture of myself with my phone, and with that same phone, I've got all these filters, and I can make myself look a whole lot better than I actually look. Every once in a while, I'll look over my wife's shoulder at her Facebook page, and every once in a while, we'll see a couple that we know, and they're all hugged up and kissy-kissy on Facebook, and we know that they are close to divorce. It is so easy in the times in which we live to present a false self to, I've got it all together, world. Won't you admire me? Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And Jesus says, let's get humble. Let's get humble and realize that we are totally dependent upon God. It's not about relying on yourself. It's about relying on the Lord. When you are invited, take the lowest place. Get humble. It's not about you. It's about them. Get humble. Kingdom hospitality is driven by compassion. It's driven by humility. Third, Jesus says, kingdom hospitality is driven by generosity. He continues his teaching. He says, when you throw a banquet, a moment ago he's talking about when you're invited. He says, but when you throw a banquet, he says, do not invite your friends, your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, or your rich neighbors, or else they may invite you in return, and so you will be repaid. He says, no, let God repay you. Don't invite those who can pay you back. Instead, invite the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled, because they can't pay you back. One of the things I love about our monthly community meal is that I think from the beginning we've had these two hearing impaired men come, Dan and Mr. Snow. And when they come, we because none of us know sign language, we write notes to communicate. And they bring Tupperware containers, and we load up their Tupperware containers with food. And at some point during the dinner, I mean, she's not here today. Good, I can talk about her. At some point during the dinner, Miss Eva is going to hug them like they are her children. And every time, I say, that's exactly right. What we're doing is exactly, this is exactly what Jesus told us to do. We are doing it right. We're just giving. We tell people, we don't want your money. You don't pay anything. You don't give us anything. We're simply here to give to you, to serve you. We're not asking you for anything. Just come and enjoy. When we do the bread ministry and we knock on doors and we say, we have a loaf of bread for you from Jesus, who is the bread of life. And people have this look on their faces like, okay, so what do you want? It's like, we don't want nothing. We just want to serve you. And if you allow us to, we'll serve you even beyond this loaf of bread. We'll intercede for you in prayer. And people are astonished by that. But that's exactly what Jesus told us to do, to give in such a way and to give to people that can't pay us back, and just to trust God to pay us back. And so often churches do outreach thinking, well, what are we going to get in return? No, Jesus says, just serve. Just serve those who cannot repay you. At our last community meal, one of our elders was coming into the building. And as she was coming into the building, she saw two teenagers hanging out in the back, I believe on the playground equipment. And this elder invited those two teenagers in for a meal. And Dan and Mr. Snow were at my table. At that time, they were leaving. And so these two teenagers came to sit at my table. And it was my pleasure and honor to talk with them and to get to know them. But I noticed that while they were at my table, they seemed anxious. While they were at my table, they seemed uncomfortable. And I tried to put on my best charming self. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get these teenagers to relax. But then I could see they were trying to figure us out. What, y'all just do this for the community? Y'all just do this for free? Anybody can come and eat? Yeah, anybody can come and eat. So we're glad you're here. And even in throughout that conversation, they never, I felt that they never just settled in. They finished their meal and then they left. And their anxiety, their discomfort bothered me. And then it hit me. These two teenagers were not uncomfortable because they felt unwelcomed. They were uncomfortable because they actually felt the welcome. See, toward the end of our text, Jesus says, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in. Well, I always thought that was the strangest thing. Why would Jesus say compel them to come in? And now I think I get it. Jesus says, when you're seeking to do hospitality, don't focus on your family and friends. Right? Because a lot of congregations, when they hear hospitality, they think, oh, we got this. This is easy. Look how nice we are to one another. Hospitality is easy for us. And you know, Jesus is right. They will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We ought to love one another. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Here, when it comes to kingdom hospitality, he's talking about to those outside of the church who cannot repay us, to the outcasts of society. And he says, go and compel them to come in. Why? Because people who are outcasts have a hard time believing that they are truly welcome. And it takes a while. It takes a while for our welcome to really drill down past the layers of hurt and rejection and not being welcome. It takes a while for that welcome to drill down and for them to really get in. So that's why Jesus says, compel them to come in. And so our welcome has to be regular. It has to be persistent. And sometimes churches, not here. I've never heard this here, so let me say that. But in some churches, people get an attitude. They're like, well, people in the neighborhood, they can see the lights on and the doors open. They drive past. They know we're here. They can just come in if they want. Jesus says, no, you have to compel them. Because when people are outcast, you've got to welcome them and 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 welcome them. And at some point, those strangers will feel like family. Well, let me give you the final thing. Kingdom hospitality is driven by compassion. It's driven by humility. It's driven by generosity. Finally, kingdom hospitality is driven by the gospel. This is probably the most important thing you need to hear today. It's driven by the gospel. Because listen, it is only people who in their own heart know that they have been welcomed to God's great banquet table of salvation who can do this kind of work. See, the reality is that you and I at one time were the outcasts. And Jesus came and got you. Jesus came and got you, and he compelled you to come into his house. He served you, he welcomed you, and he made you his family. Kingdom hospitality is driven by the gospel. It's driven by the knowledge that we have been brought into the family of God through the precious blood of Jesus. The only people that can do this work are people who know we don't deserve being in this place. We don't deserve being here at this church. We don't deserve being in worship. We don't deserve being Christian. Jesus came and got us. He welcomed us. Jesus had compassion on you. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't deserve that, but his heart was moved to compassion. Because you were in bondage to sin and death, his heart was moved to compassion and his will acted. He left heaven and came down here and died on a cross for you. You've received not only Jesus' compassion, but you have received his humility. The Bible says in Hebrews that even though Jesus is equal to God, he is God, but he did not count that as something to be exploited. He emptied himself. He humbled himself and was found as a servant. It says he humbled himself and became obedient even to death on the cross. Jesus said, it's not about me, it's about them. It's about rescuing them. You have received the compassion of Jesus. You've received the humility of Jesus. You've received the generosity of Jesus. Right? Remember what he said? He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It's for you. To the degree that you know your own belovedness in Jesus, to the degree that you can rest and rejoice in the gospel, it's to that degree that you can do this work of hospitality. Because at the end of the day, it won't be you, it won't be me, it'll be Christ in us, working through us to bring many into his family.